Welcome to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. I'm June Grosso. Every day we bring you insight and analysis into the most important legal news of the day. You can find more episodes of the Bloomberg Law Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcasts.
We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. And what conservative revolution? It seems Chief Justice John Roberts is leaning left lately. Joining us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studio in the nation's capital is Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr. Greg, what's this all about?
Well, there's an unmistakable pattern now, and I don't want to make too much out of this, but the Chief Justice has been repeatedly joining with the liberal wing, not always, but in many occasions, typically doing something narrow or procedural, but at a minimum, he is putting the brakes on, let's say, in a sharp turn to the right now that Brett Kavanaugh is on the court.
Is he following his true conservative compass, or is he thinking about his legacy?
Yeah, it may be some of both going on here. It is, again, important not to make too much out of this. We haven't seen, for example, what he will do when he's actually having to decide, say, an abortion case on the merits. A couple weeks ago, he did join the liberals in blocking a Louisiana law that would have required abortion doctors who perform abortions to get admitting privileges at a local hospital. That law is almost identical to a Texas law he voted against a couple years ago. The court may end up taking up that case on the merits next term. The fact that the chief joined the liberals in not letting it take effect right now is very interesting, and it may mean something for what he's going to say on the merits, but it might not. And those conservative instincts that you talked about may end up being what carries the day when he actually has to decide that case.
I wonder, in the history of the Supreme Court, is there any, for lack of a better word, precedent for this, where justice has sort of swung one way or the other to prevent the court from going too far in either direction?
There are certainly, Bob, there are certainly plenty of precedents for justices who have turned one direction or another, mostly left once they've joined the court and proven more liberal than we thought they were going to be or that people thought they were going to be at the time.
Thinking about Earl Warren, right?
Sure, Earl Warren, David Souter, Harry Blackmun, John Paul Stevens. I mean, the list is quite long if you're looking at Republican appointees who ended up being fairly liberal. In this case, John Roberts, he's been on the court since 2005, and he's established himself as a pretty, a solidly conservative guy, in the vast majority of cases. But he's also somebody who cares a lot about the court's institutional reputation, and he's made pretty clear that he doesn't want the court looking like a partisan institution. He's very sensitive to the idea that people might perceive this court as being now kind of a tool of the Republican Party, siding with the administration reflexively. And so, this may just be his way of slowing things down and saying we are not automatically, just because we tend to be a bit more conservative, we're not automatically going to go for the conservative result in every case and certainly not siding with the Trump administration in every case.
Well, this court has sort of tried to avoid or duck some of the more contentious issues, perhaps to stay out of politics.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. One pattern of this term, the first term with Brett Kavanaugh on it, is that the court has really deferred a lot of issues. So there are some pending appeals involving things like the DACA program, the deferred deportation program that President Trump is trying to eliminate. There's several appeals on the question of whether the federal job discrimination law, Title VII, covers sexual orientation and gender identity. And the court has deferred acting on those. If they take up those cases, it won't be until next term. And the Chief Justice seems to be behind at least some of that, kicking issues down the road rather than confronting them right away.
Is Kavanaugh voting on decisions as expected?
He is. He's sort of so far, and again, it's very early with him, kind of straddling the camps of sometimes he goes with Roberts and even along with the liberals. There were a couple decisions this week, opinions this week, one of which he went with that group in a 6-3 decision. And sometimes he votes with the more conservative bloc of Justices Thomas and Gorsuch and Alito. Again, it's still very early to see. You know, we really don't know what kind of justice he's going to be yet. But for the time being, he is sort of in the center right of the court.
If we were going to try to prove that Justice Roberts is shifting left, is there any case ahead that would sort of be a test case we could be watching?
There are a couple of big cases. Probably the two biggest cases of this term have yet to be argued. One involves, there's actually two of them, but it's basically one issue involving partisan gerrymandering, which is an issue the court has had before, and whether partisan gerrymanders can be challenged in court. That's an issue where we saw a partisan divide before, or an ideological divide, excuse me, before, where the conservatives generally don't like to let gerrymanders be challenged. So that's a big one. And then the second one is this case involving whether the Trump administration can add a question about citizenship to the census. Again, that's going to be an ideological divide. And at this point, it's really anybody's guess how the Chief Justice might vote in that case.
I want to shift gears and make sure we ask about Justice Ginsburg for a moment. She just returned to the court after some health challenges. How's she doing?
You know, she seems to be, you know, going full steam again, every bit as much engaged as she was before the cancer surgery that she had late last year. When she came back to the court after being away for a couple months, at the very first opportunity, she had an opinion to deliver, making clear that she had been working while she was recuperating. She's about to turn 86. I think it's 2 weeks from today. She turns 86, but no indications right now that she's slowing down.
Not that she would signal anything, but no indication that there are any plans for her to retire.
No, and you know, she has used that phrase full steam. She said she will keep doing this job as long as she can do it full steam. She did miss a round of arguments, but you know, is now back and seems to be going full steam. And so it's hard to imagine that she will retire anytime soon.
I watched the documentary. She can do more push-ups than me.
She can do push-ups. She can do squats. And, yeah, she is, you know, by all indications, you know, a woman who can do an awful lot of stuff both physically and mentally at this stage.
That wouldn't be saying much for me, though. Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. You can subscribe and listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcasts. I'm June Grosso. This is Bloomberg.